Now, this message is really for each single one. I really do believe that many people is going to struggle because most people have a head knowledge about who God is, but there's no revelation knowledge about who God is. And I want to read you quickly, just quickly, a scripture that I didn't plan. Job 42, verse 5 says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. Now, most people's got this thing. They've got head knowledge about God, but there's no revelation knowledge about God. Head knowledge is only information. It does not bring transformation. Come on, somebody. You need revelation knowledge. You need revelation to bring transformation. So many people don't know God. They don't even know who they serve. Even Jesus said this in the Gospels. He says, there's people they worship who they do not know. But you know who you worship. Amen. And then Jesus goes on and he says, the time has come and will come where there will be true worshipers that will worship in spirit and in truth. Your God is spirit. Now the Bible says this, and again, I see ears closing up. You better hear me. The Bible says the person you listen to is the one that you serve. In other words, if you listen to the devil, he's your God. I'm getting down and dirty this morning. People listen to the enemy's lies and they believe it. I've heard people hear more about Satan when the devil speaks, but they don't hear God. You see, why they don't hear God is their minds has not yet been renewed. They fight a Goliath every single day of their lives, but they never come to the place where they cut off Goliath's head. You can, if you want to face a giant today, there's one victory, and we all know the victory is in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you believe it, come on, give him a shout. But with that Goliath, there's a head, and that head needs to be cut off and destroyed. And when that head is cut off, it's no longer the devil whispering in your ear, but suddenly you will hear the Spirit of God speaking to you. I don't know you, but I want to tell you my part. I know something, that I had to go through fire, severe fire, severe persecution, severe hatred, in order for God to start to use me in the position that he's using me in today. My God, I thank God for the attacks upon my life. If it was not for the attacks upon my life, I would have been dead in my trespasses. But thank God that I'm perplexed and crushed and pushed from every side. Because the more the devil pushes me, the more I'm running after the enemy's head. I'm coming. You have to be crushed. I'm speaking to people in this place. Your loved ones, all right, I'm going to try this side. Your loved ones hate you, speak against you. The Bible says even Joseph's brothers hated him. Come on, even Joseph's brothers hated him. David's brothers came against him. I'm speaking to somebody. David's wife even said to him, you are crazy, look at your heart. Look at this guy, how's he dancing. Samson's wife turned her back on the man of God. And you know what the men of God had? They had the power of God. Their family were ridiculing them, speaking against them. Sometimes the people close to you are the ones who will push you to your destiny. They don't need to believe in you. If God has called you, my God, he will set you on high. People don't need to approve you. You don't need the approval of man. Come on, I want to run around twice this church this morning. You don't need people's approval. You need the hand of God upon your life. And when the hand of God is upon your life, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. They tried to kill Joseph. Do you know what they did? They opened a door for him, which no man can shut. You see, when God selects you, he doesn't look at you like man looks at you. He doesn't look at you and say, oh, this guy is not qualified. When they looked at David, they fought before he was fighting Goliath. He was not qualified. They even wanted to see his CV. What did you do in your life? You're too young. You're a youth. You're not even trained in the army. Come on. I want you to tell your neighbor he's getting somewhere this morning. Are you excited? He's getting somewhere this morning. I'm going to get a scripture on the screen. Are you ready to open your Bibles with me? We're going to see what the Lord is saying. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Keep that on the board. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I've asked the Lord this for a month. Every day of my life, Lord, why, if I serve you with everything that I have, why is the persecution? You know, I don't want to go into too much personal detail. But for the last 3 weeks of my life, every day of my life, my prayer is, Lord, I'm ready. Come and get me. Oh, Lord, I'm ready. Oh, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm sick and tired of this world. You see, something happens when the Holy Spirit starts to touch your life. And again, it doesn't matter what your brothers, your sisters, your aunt, your uncle, the people close to you think about you. They're not going to judge you. You're going to stand before God one day. But there comes a time in your life where the Lord starts to use you in such a powerful way that suddenly in your heart you start to hate sin. You start to hate everything that this world's got. This is why when you see this world, you don't want to be part of this world. Oh, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Am I speaking to somebody in this place? You get to a place where you're just so sick and tired of unrighteousness and the defilement and the sin of this world that you hate it. And when you start to hate it, you preach on it. And when you preach on it, you'll have persecution, because the Bible says every single person, every single member that wants to live godly. To live godly means that I don't live like this world. I don't care if your brother says you live like the world. God knows what's in your heart. And the more you want to live godly, the more the persecution will come. Persecution is a sign of godly living. You want to be godly? You will be persecuted. You will be hated by all men. The Bible says they hated Christ because they can't handle the truth. Am I speaking to the right crowd this morning? They will hate you because you live godly. If you were part of this world will receive you. They will receive you. Do you know what the devil cannot do? The devil cannot speak truth. This is why the devil is a liar. I said, this is why the devil is a liar. This is why he will tell you that you're not worthy. This is why he will tell you you are not qualified. The devil can't tell you you are qualified. He's a liar. So if the devil tells you you are ungodly, do you know what you do? You turn it and you take the opposite. I'm a godly man. When he says you will not make it, I'm making it. Come on, when the devil says that you are broke, then you know I'm blessed. Because the devil can never speak truth. Ooh. He wants to try. There's no truth found in him. When he whispers in your ear, take the opposite of what he is saying. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody? All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, not without him, in Christ Jesus, will suffer persecution. The word persecution, now let me tell you something. With persecution, it's normally people that were supposed to take care of you, supposed to guard you and protect you. It's people that's supposed to bind the same vision. Even Jesus Christ, among his friends, had a Judas that sold him out. He had a Peter that denied him. You will have the same thing. A servant is never above his master. If they persecuted your Christ, they will persecute you. Just because you want to live a godly life. Now, sometimes it seems easier to live like this world, amen, and have no enemies or frenemies. And what we do is we tend to build walls because we want to protect ourselves from getting hurt. You don't want to let people in, because the people that were supposed to take care of you and protect you are the ones who's speaking about you behind your back, backstabbing, backbiting, and try to devour you. Come on, where's the upper room that will help? Where's the real people that knows exactly what I'm talking about? They are never willing. I said they are never willing to do what you do, to pray like you pray, to walk like you walk, to live like you live. But yet they have much to say. But I've made a choice. I'll take all the persecution, all the hate, as long as I can live a godly life in Christ Jesus, then bring it on, devil. Because the more godlier you are, the more God starts to use you. Now, I want to throw this in. Ek wil nie asseblief nie, ek wil nie hoogmoedig klink nie. Ek probeer net sê so nederig as wat ek kan. Don't sit there and speak about miracles if you ain't seen a miracle in your own life. If you haven't produced miracles for your own hands, don't speak about it. Zip it. But take something from someone that has been walking that road. Am I speaking to you? That has been casting out demons, cleansing the lepers, opening up the eyes of the blind. You're going to have to live a godly life, and they will be hated by all men. But thank Jesus, if they hate you, you are in the right company. Can we get the next one on the screen? Corinthians, this is what Paul says. He says, we are hard pressed on every side. Jeez, that one speaks books. We are hard pressed on every side. Do you know what this means? This means that when troubles comes, it doesn't just come from one way. It's all around you. I want to ask the real people just to wave at me right now. People with real feelings, real emotions. You go through some real stuff in your life. I'm getting somewhere this morning. You have been hard-pressed on every side. Come on, hard-pressed on every single side. It's all over. You walk to the left and you're hard-pressed. You walk to your right, it's your hard-pressed. Come on. You sit down, you're hard-pressed. You stand up, you're hard-pressed. You're hard-pressed on every side. But I've got great news for you. Even if the world presses you and pushes you, you are not yet crushed. Oh, I liked it. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I like that one. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecuted, but never alone. Struck down, but not destroyed. You see, the problem is not hitting me down. Your problem is me getting back up. That's the difference. Because a man of God, a woman of God, a spiritual person, you never back down. When you fall, you get back up. Oh, the righteous fall 7 times. God picks him up. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Here's Paul, and he said the following. He said, from everywhere, I'm pushed. I'm speaking to real people right now. They have been left in despair. Paul says, I know what it means to be whipped. I received 59 stripes. He says, I've been stoned. I've been left hungry. I've been left abandoned. I've been in shipwreck. They stoned him. The disciples had to stand around him and raise him from the dead. Paul has been through all this. He says, I've been in prisons. I've been locked in prisons. And then he goes on. He says, I know what it means to have everything. I know what it means to have a good life. And then Paul says, I know what it means to have nothing. I know what it means to have hunger and have a need. And then he continues, and here's the key. He says, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Please say this with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Paul goes on and he says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And he continues, he says, and the life I now live, I live unto the glory of God. So Paul says, if you look at me, you don't see me. I'm not alive. It's Christ in me that is alive. And this is the problem that most people face. You look in the mirror and you don't look good enough for yourself. Do you know why you don't look good enough for yourself? It's because you have never met the Christ in you. You've never seen who has, oh come on, you've never seen who Christ in you is. And you can say, oh yeah, it's definitely for me. This is absolute for you. Don't let the devil lie to you this morning. This message is for each one in this place. Each one needs to hear this. You can be crushed, pushed, but the Bible says you'll never be destroyed. If God is for us, come on saints, who can be against us? I said, if God is for us, who can be against us? I was asking the Lord for the last couple of months of my life. I said, Lord, I want you, before you take me out of this world, I want you to use me like you've never used me before. And suddenly there's a new anointing. There's a new zeal. There's a new fire on the inside of me. But the more the fire comes, the more the persecution comes. The more the hardships comes. And sometimes you feel like this. Who knows what I'm talking about? When you wake up in the morning, you feel like this. When you go to bed at night, you feel like this. When you pray for the sick, you feel like this. When you have to trust God, you feel like this. When there's a vision, you have to feel like this. But thank God, those who live a godly life shall be persecuted. I'd rather take the godly life. Hallelujah. I want to throw something in free of charge. The Bible says here's a Goliath, a giant, an enemy. And for 40 days... he challenges Israel for 40 days. Now, I love this because there's the number 40 again. Number 40, new season. Come on, number 40. 40, 40. A woman that's pregnant, the full cycle is 40 weeks before she gives birth to something. If you think about the Israelites, 40 years in the desert before they entered into the land that overflows with milk and honey. Come on. Jesus fasted in the desert for 40 days. Noah in the ark, raining, 40 days and 40 nights. Moses in the desert, 40 in Egypt, 40 years. In the desert, 40 years. And then taking out the people out of Egypt for another 40 years. 40, 40, 40, 40. And here suddenly, here's an enemy of God that stands and opposes Israel for 40 days. He challenges them and say, if you just got a man, if you just have a man that will come and fight me for 40 days, And I've asked the Lord, I said, for 40 days, there was an intense, in the spirit realm, there was an intense battle, because here's this giant. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody about the giant. There's a giant that they face. And for 40 days, this giant is a bully. That's exactly what he is. He's a bully. If there's just a man strong enough that can fight me. And all of Israel is running around. Saul was the tallest. The Bible speaks about Saul that was a head longer, taller than the rest of the of Israel. And yet Saul asked, if we just had a man that can fight this giant. And today even people are just calling out, if there's just a man that can hear from God, if there's just a man that God can send to release a word. And suddenly here is Goliath. And scripture says David is a young man, a young youth. He's so young. If you study the scripture, he was young, so young that he was not yet in army because of his age. He was too young to go to army. And so every single day, what he will do is he will tend his father's sheep. Now, this is what I tell most people, that in your most lonely hours, God creates supernatural powers. David was lonely when he was tending his father's sheep. Amen. If you know what I'm talking about, say hallelujah. And the only thing that he was doing is he was making sure that he knows how to use a rock. And every single day, taking care of the sheep, making sure there's no lions, there's no bears. If a lion comes, if a bear comes, he protects. But the Bible says, these shepherds were so accurate. When they throw a stone, it can split the hair. This is how accurate they are. Now, I want to tell you, for you to fight your Goliath this morning, you better get accurate in the spirit. You better know that God has spoken. You better get sharp. You better make sure your axe head is sharp. God, I received the word of axe heads being blunt. And it's time that we take our axe heads and make it sharp. Make sure that when the enemy comes, I'm ready for him. Come on, I'm going to be so specific when I come for you. I'm going to take you out with the first knock. Am I speaking to the right crowd this morning? So the scripture says that when he went down to his brothers to bring them food and to just check what's going on, his brothers turned around and said, "What are you doing here?" And you know why? Because I believe with all of my heart, David's brothers saw something on the inside of him that they didn't like. They became jealous of him. This is why they said, "Oh, what do you do here? What do you come out, your young maniki?" Because they knew that there's a king on the inside of him. They knew that the spirit of God that rests upon him is not upon them. And David said, "Oh, jeez, what did I now all do?" This means that his brothers didn't like him. Every single day, most probably, he was the one that was casted out. And, "Oh, he come a youngling all here." This is why the Bible says, don't worry about, don't let people look at your youth and think that you're not well or good enough. If my spirit is upon you, I'll use you. So the Bible goes on, and scripture says that David saw this big Goliath. Now Saul thought that Goliath is so big to fight. But when David saw Goliath, David knew that that Goliath is too big to miss. A spirit-filled person, this is the difference between us and normal people. Is you can look at a giant and see this giant, this mountain is so big. Or you can decide and say this giant is impossible to miss. I'm going to strike this way. Now, you better understand this. When they were training, they were throwing stones to split the hair. But this giant is so big that he's not just going to hit his hair. He's going to hit his head. The Bible says that God said in a garden of Eden, he says that the Son of God, or the seed of the woman in this translation, will crush the serpent's head. When you crush a serpent's head, when you crush the head, when you go for the head, it means you take over the authority. Come on, you bring high things down. You deal with the mind, with the eyes, with the ears, with the... You deal with the senses and you take it out. It's not just good enough killing the Goliath and leaving him. It's time to deal with the very thing of the mind, of the eyes, of the ears, come on, of the tongue. And I like the next verse. I want to read you this verse. And now I want the real people to join in. Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." And then, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Now I want to ask the real people to join in now. Saul said to David, you're so young, you have not been trained in an army. This man is a man of war. He's been training every single day. Now if you want to take on a boxer, you have to make sure you train like he trains. It doesn't help you. You can go a couple of rounds, but you're not fit enough. Okay, I'm going to try you in this height. You better get trained. That's what the natural law says. But here's David. He's saying, okay, you want to see my CV? You want to see my CV? Well, maybe I'm not qualified for what you think. Maybe I'm not qualified for your standards. But I want to tell you, I've not been to war. No. I've not been training in the army. But what I can tell you, there was once a lion that came and he picked up a lamb. And I said, no ways, brother. And I started chasing the lion. Now you have to be crazy in your head to run after a lion. You have to be fast. You have to be anointed. He says, and do you know what I did? I'm not trained in the army, but I know what it means to fight with lions. I know what it means to take the jaw of the lion and break it open and to take out the lamb. I know exactly what it means to take care of my flock. He says, and do you know what? I know exactly when I leave terugbrot, klappe kom en ek grip hom aan sy baard. And I rub him apart with my bare hands. That I know. He says, I've got on my CV that there once was a bear that came. And I said, no, brother, I'm not having this. And I destroyed the bear. Come on. What qualifications do you have to take on this Goliath? Well, I've not been part of the army, but I've been standing through a Red Sea, and I've been lifting up a rod, and I saw how God divided the waters to this way and that. Come on, I have not been part of your army, but I've been in the lion's den, and I've seen how God closes up the mouths of the lion. Come on, where's the real people? I want you to jump to your feet and help me preach in this place. I've not been part of your army, but I know what it means to fight the lion. I know what it means to fight the bear. I've not been part of your army, but I stand in the desert and I've been crying out on the living God to answer by fire. And fire came down from heaven. That qualifies me. I've not been part of your army. I've not been part of your T's and C's. My God, I feel the anointing on me. I've not been part of your T's and C's. Maybe you don't like my face. Who cares? But I can tell you one thing. I have on my CV that I was hungry once and suddenly there was a raven bringing me food. I know what it means. Woo, come on. I've got on my CV that when the raven stopped, there was a widow that was taking care of me. And when the widow ceased to come, there was an angel. I've not been part of your army. I've not been in your clique and in your liking. But I've got on my CV that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come on, I was standing outside Lazarus' tomb, and I heard a voice scream out, Lazarus, come forth. I've seen with my eyes how the dead has been raised. Woo! That I've got on my CV. I've not been part of your clique. Oh, I've not been part of your clique. Ek trek nie aan soos jy nie. Ek lyk nie soos jy nie. Ek praat nie soos jy nie. Ek ry nie wat jy ry nie. But on my CV, I've got a Jesus Christ. I've seen this. How he died on the cross. And on the third day he rose in victory. That I've got. What qualifies you? Let me tell you what qualifies me. I was lost, but now I am found. You're not big enough to fight this giant. Well, on my CV, I've seen how I was in prison. And at the very midnight, me and Silas were singing songs, praising God, and suddenly there's an earthquake, and I'm free. Is that enough? Hallelujah. One day, very soon, we're going to jabula in heaven. I want to preach in heaven about the goodness of Jesus. That qualifies me. That qualifies you. Jesus died for me, rose from the dead. That's on my CV. Ooh, hallelujah. Jy is so jonk. Jy het nog nie getrein nie. While you were sleeping, I was seeking. Can I tell you something? One of the hardest things is when you love the Lord with all of your heart and all of your might, and people still speak about you, still hate you, still lie about you, still persecute you and say stupid things about you, but you still stand. Because once you've seen all those things that I've just mentioned, you can never go back. Never. Never. Come on, I'm after the prize. I'm after the crown of life. Amen. And very, very soon, very, very, very soon, we'll be rewarded. As Jesus says, behold, I'm coming quickly. And my reward is with me. Now, I love what the scripture says next. The Bible says, all right, Saul says, okay, you have been fighting bears, right? You've been fighting lions. Come here, let me put my armor on you. So he took off his armor and he placed it on David. And David was having a difficult time to walk. And David said, hang on, I'm not trained in this. And he removed the armor. And he says, this is not the way I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight like God has instructed me to fight. You see, what I like about the scripture, David said, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. Who agree with me? The battle is the Lord's. So he wasn't trained to walk in Saul's armor. You see, the fight that you have to fight is not the fight that I fight. It's not the fight that the person next to you fight. And the problem is that people think that you're an echo of somebody. You're not. You're a voice. The Bible doesn't speak about you as a shadow. He's calling us light. Come on, we are the light of this world. Now, the Bible says that he was removing this armor. And here's Goliath coming. And Goliath says, he starts laughing at him. He says, yay, ga my fight. I'm going to feed your body to the birds of the air. You see, the problem with Goliath was Goliath didn't understand who David's God was. Come on, the problem with Goliath was he didn't knew the Spirit of God that was resting upon David. That's the main problem. 1 Samuel 16 speaks about Saul having a distressing spirit. Now, here's the key, people of God. Saul was anointed. Please say with me, he was anointed. Let's try that again. Saul was anointed. But Saul displeased God. Saul displeased God. Saul was speaking against the man of God, trying to kill the man of God. And do you know what God did? God's spirit left Saul, and a spirit sent, or a spirit that God allowed, a satanic, a demonic spirit started attacking Saul. This is what happens with most Christians. They start off well, and then they start to persecute and start to speak against men of God. And do you know what the Spirit of God does? He leaves, and the spirit of Satan comes, and he lies to you. Every single day he speaks to you. This is why people love to worship, but not many people like to walk with God. Because those who walk with God need to hear him and obey him. He says, my people know my voice. Come on, and they do whatever I tell them to do. Saul loved worshiping, because Saul knew that as long as I worship, the devil will leave. So he got David. David was playing instruments. He was worshiping. And Saul was just, praise the Heere. He failed. Devil is weg. But when David stopped, the demon spirit came back again. David knew how to worship God. 1 Samuel 16, 1 Samuel 17. Here's Goliath. I'm speaking to true worshipers this morning. You know what it means to worship when the rest does not want to worship. God is about to give your Goliath in your hands. But I'm here to tell you, and you can take this or you can leave this. It's up to you. But God's not just going to deliver Goliath into your hands. He's going to deliver his head into your hands. Come on, you're going to make mincemeat of him. Here's Goliath laughing. David ran down. The Bible says he ran down to the water and he picked up 5 stones. Smooth stones. Smooth rocks. 5 ones. But Goliath was one. But David was fed up. Okay, I'm going to try that again. David was fed up for 40 days being victimized, bullied, threatened, sick and tired. And he says, well, if I'm going to kill this Goliath, I'm coming for his brothers and his sisters too. David picked up 5 stones, not because he thought he's going to miss, because he knew that Goliath's got brothers and sisters. You better prepare, for God is about to give Goliath. God is about to give your hardest season into your hands. And the Bible says the following. So David did 5 clippies and it's a slinger fell. And Goliath ran towards David. Think about this. You're a small youngster. And here's this big thing running towards you. Let me tell you what faith does. Faith doesn't run away. Faith runs towards the problem. Because the Bible says, suddenly David said, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. And when Goliath ran towards him, David ran towards Goliath. And suddenly, and the Bible says he hit him so hard that the rock was driven into his forehead. And he fell face down. Bang. And do you know what David did? David didn't rejoice at first. Now, do you know what I love? I'm going to tell you what I love. When Saul gave David the armor, David couldn't even carry the sword of Saul. It was too heavy. He couldn't carry the armor. It was too heavy. But suddenly when Goliath was face down, David ran. And he jumped. Poof! Took his own sword. You don't hear me. He was struggling, taking up the sword of Saul. Suddenly he's taking up the soul of Goliath. And he cut his head off. Bah! Because this is the key. You can entertain Satan and try to destroy that enemy's work. But unless you come to the root of the cause, Paul says that we have to renew our minds every single day. They had a Goliath that were in their minds for 40 days. You don't hear me? They've got a Goliath that was in their heads for 40 days. The only thing that they heard was, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to kill your nation. You're going to serve me. Come on, help me, somebody. You're going to be in bondage. You're going to be in, but that's the only thing they heard, because the enemy wants to get into your mind. He's laying eggs there. He's lying there. He had to cut off his head to deal with the mind. He cut off his head to deal with the eyes. The only thing that they saw for 40 days was this big thing, this bully. For 40 days they saw destruction and they saw death. They had to cut off the ear to deal with the ears, because the only thing that they heard was that how bad they are going to lose. I'm speaking to people who the devil is taking your mind. Come on, and he's laying eggs in your mind. And he's lying to you and he's making you crazy. It's time to pick up that sword. And go for the head. Cut off the head. Who's sick and tired of the only thing that you see is the enemy? The only thing that you see is your problems. Lift your hands. Come, the only thing that you see is sickness and disease. Deal with the head. Cut off the head, because I want to deal with the mouth. Normally, when you're anointed, you don't play footsie-footsie with the devil. Amen. You don't stand back for somebody that's threatening you. You cast that thing out. So what I love about David is, Goliath, come listen, I'm going to show you something. You've been in my mind. You've been in Israel's minds for 40 days. The only thing that they saw was you, you big bully. Come on, the only thing that they heard was how big and powerful you are and how weak we are. The only thing that came out of your mouth is how powerful you are. But I'm telling you now, I'm coming for you. And when I come for you, I'm going to make sure I take off your head, so that you no longer can speak, no longer can think, no longer can hear, no longer can see. I'm coming after you, for this mind belongs to Christ. Come on, I'm a new creation. These eyes belong to Him. What I see Him. This is why Moses could open up the Red Sea, because the whole of Israel, the only thing that they saw was they saw destruction. But Moses saw God. I hope somebody's listening to me. Do you know what David did with that head? I'm going to tell you. Read the Bible. It says that David took the head and he walked towards Jerusalem. Do you know it's a fact? Do you know where they buried the head of Goliath? I'm going to tell you. Goliath derives from Golgotha. They buried it in Golgotha, the place of the skull. David was the seed of Christ. Here comes Jesus 2,000 years ago, and they lifted him up on the place of the skull, Golgotha, and everything was subject under his feet, even Goliath. If you understand who you are in the Lord, you deal with that enemy's head. This is why many people sit here this morning to say to the Lord, Lord, this day I don't want you to help me deal with my enemies. I want you to give me the power to cut off their heads. I need you to help me deal with the mind, with the eyes, with the ears, with the mouth. Come on, is there somebody listening to me today? You have seen, the only thing that you've been seeing in this season is you have seen a bully, you have seen your big problem, your big storm. Come on, it's Edgar's, it's home loans, it's personal loans, it's debt, it's sickness, it's family problems. Where's the real people? Apparently there's nobody with debt and problems and situations in this place. I have to lift up four hands. Brother Edo, help me. But I love this. The scripture says that if you think about a small stone that knocked out this big Goliath, the problem is that most people don't read the Bible correct. It wasn't about the stone. It was about the force behind that stone. It was just not just any rock that killed him. It was the rock of ages that brought him down to his knees. And I love what the Lord is doing. Most times when your battle seems so huge, God brings it down to your level. And when God brings your problem down to your level, he gives you the enemy's sword in your own hand. You cut it off. So I'll speak to you quickly to people right now that came this morning. And this is the reason why you're here. For God is about to give Goliath into your hands. Every single week that the enemy has lied to you. And this is how it works, saints of God, unfortunately. You can be happy about this message and go home and be the same. Our problem is that we are hearers of the word and not doers of the word. It goes in here and goes out there. And nothing changes. Every single week we face the same giant. We face the same situation. Until you come to a place where you are fed up like David was. What does a person get who can finish up this big mouth? And I'll say, I'll give you a fro and all this. And they were to create a fro to say happy. Say, Fana, I sort of might know. In this case, you will not get a wife, you'll get victory. Amen, you'll get healing. You'll get breakthrough. You'll get deliverance. Come on, in the name of Jesus. I've seen it when they're casting out of demons and healing the sick. You have to get fed up for sickness. You have to get fed up for sin. No man can lead people to Jesus Christ unless they hate sin themselves. You have to come to a place where you just hate. You hate it. So I want to ask the real people by the lifting up of your hands, who said vessel for 40 days? Your 40 days might be your season, all right? For 40 days I've been lied to. Come on. The enemy has spoken to my head, my mind, my eyes. The only thing that my eyes have seen is havoc, it's storms, problems, situations. The only thing my ears has heard is death and sickness and death, and I'm just fed up. Come on, lift those hands if you're one of them. Now I want to ask, where's my brother George? He's in the back. Can help me out here in the front. And I want you to stand to your feet very, very quickly. For those of you who lifted your hands, who said, Vessel, I'm sick and tired of Goliath. God said that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. You see, dealing with the enemy, you always have to deal with the head. Where the problem comes from. People live in defeat because their minds has not been renewed. As long as your mind's not renewed, the enemy will keep on lying to you. I can ask every eye to be closed, every hand to be lifted. I'm speaking to those that's been crushed and pushed from every side. I'm speaking to those that have been trying to live a godly life, but they have been persecuted like never before. I'm speaking to people right now who just come to a place in their lives where they say, Lord, I just had it. I want to tell you this morning, the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. This is why you are not able to walk in Saul's armor. Because as long as you can walk in Saul's armor, the battle is yours. But as you come, like God has commanded you to go, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. You see, saints, as every eye is closed, every hand lifted, it's not about the amount of men you have around you. It's about the amount of men whose spirit filled. The Bible says when Gideon went into war, he had 32,000 men, and God says, no, I'm not going to get the glory for your story. 10,000 left, there was 22,000 left. And God said, it's still too many. Eventually, they ended up with 300 men that was spirit-filled, that was ready for battle. I pray this day that there will be 300 men in this place. It will be ready for battle. Will say, you come against me with sword and spear. You come against me with sickness, with disease, with accusations, with persecution, with hatred. But I come against you in the name of the Lord. For 2 minutes, I want you to start to lift your voices. Lift your voices in prayer. That same spirit that was on David is coming on you. When God looks at you, He'll call you men of valor. To this world, you might be not qualified. But on your CV, you have seen how the waters have parted. How manna was brought in the desert. You've seen the lion's mouth closed. Somebody needs to tell Goliath, I'm coming for you. Come on, tell that Goliath, I'm coming for you. You have stolen my joy. You've stolen my peace. You've stolen my healing. I'm coming for you. You've defied the armies of God. I'm coming for you. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy, Holy Spirit. Come on, saints. Listen, the victory and the battle is the Lord's. This morning, you're not a victim, you're a victor. More than a conqueror. Now, if you see what I see, you'll have a smile on your face. You'll have a dance. You'll have a joy. For the Lord is showing me this clearly, that for each Goliath that comes against you, He's going to bring it down to your level. You're going to cut that thing's head off. The struggle is over. That 40 days, that season of mourning is over. Who believes that with all of your might? Who believes that you have come to this church this morning to hear this message from the Lord? Come on, that even when the world disqualifies you, the world looks at you and criticizes you, that God says, this is a man and this is a woman that I can use. So I want to ask people with faith, that the same faith right now, that will take this in the spirit and say, Lord, I'm going home knowing that I've got Goliath's head in my hand. And I'm about to take it to the foot of the cross and bury it. I'm not going to play with Goliath no more. I'm burying it. I want you to put your hand on your mind quickly. Father, we take authority over every mind in this place. Paul has said that we have the mind of Christ. So I cancel every lie of the enemy. Every egg that the enemy drops and starts to grow in people's minds. Every lie, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that these people will have the mind of Christ. That the supernatural will become logical to them. I pray that they will have the mind of Christ, that they will see themselves as you see them in Jesus' name. Come, I speak to that Goliath right now. I bite your works in the name of Jesus. I command you to let God's people go right now. Right now in Jesus' name. Your mind is your prison. It's time to break out in the name of Jesus. Come on, I want you to say this by faith. I'm breaking out this morning. Put your hands on your eyes. Father, we are coming for Goliath's head. We are cutting off his head. For 40 days, the only thing that we've been seeing is this destruction. Problems, situations, and storms. But these eyes will see you, Lord. These eyes shall see the salvation of the Lord. Come on, we will not back down. We will attack in the name of Jesus. These eyes will no longer see the threats of Satan. Come on, these eyes will not see hardships, empty cupboards, and empty bank accounts. These eyes will not see debt and dead doctor's reports. These eyes will no longer see dead and dry bones. These eyes shall see how God sees. These eyes shall see and behold the victory of God. Come on, these eyes shall see the future that God has promised me. Put your hands on your ears right now. Come on, this is your prophetic act. These ears will no longer hear the threats of the enemy. No longer will you hear the bully speaking to you for 40 days. These ears belongs to God. With these ears, we will no longer hear the lies of Satan, but we will hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit. We will hear the voice of God. Oh, let it be like a thunder this morning. I want you to say this with me. My ears belongs to the Lord. I'm not borrowing it out. Put your hand on your mouth. Father, as we are dealing with Goliath's head this morning, these mouths belongs to you. For 40 days we've heard the threats, the rumors, the persecution. But we are dealing with the mouth this morning. This mouth will declare the goodness of God. This mouth will speak healing and life. This mouth will worship the King of Heaven. With this mouth, I'll praise you as long as I live. Come on, somebody, I'm dealing with Goliath's head. I'm about to bury it in Jesus' name. I want you to lift your hands. And I want you to say, Lord, I'm taking that head and I'm putting it at the cross. Everything is subject unto you. Even Goliath. Goliath, I'm coming for you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now come on, I want you to lift those hands. And joy is coming. Oh, joy is coming. Joy is coming. Your 40 days of insult is over. 40 days of threats is over. I want you to jump on that enemy and take off his head and take back your joy. Do you know what the Bible says? After David killed Goliath, the ladies were singing. The girls were singing, praising God for what the Lord has done through David. Is there somebody that's excited?